Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, choir. No More Night. 2.5 years ago, I was at St. Francis Hospital. Donna's mom was in the emergency room. Donna was there with her. I was there. And in the corner of the emergency room, I received the call that my father had just crossed over. And the first words out of my mouth to my sister who called me were these: "No More Night." I invite you to take your Bible and turn to a powerful vision given to the Apostle John as he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Persecuted, weary, and worn, God gave him a glimpse into what was to come. I invite you to stand now for the reading of God's Word. Hear now the Word of God from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, beginning with verse 9. "After this I looked," now the I is John. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation!'" Now, I'm going to postulate here that that word could be better translated, victory. There's grammatical reasons for that. Victory. Victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them in His presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will lead them to springs of living water. And God Himself will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Almighty God, thank you for the power of your word. The mere reading and hearing of it to inspire us to heal our broken hearts and to encourage us to take the next step of faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I know this much, that life is for real. I know that in this world, in light of each of our sinful nature, no one of us will escape the reality of facing a crisis at some time in our life. In fact, you're either in one right now, or you're coming out of one, or you are about to face one. Over the course of my calling in ministry, I've had the humbling privileges of walking with many families during crises. And you have walked with me and my family during our crises. On one occasion, I was in an emergency room in another county, another city. A young lady was suffering immense mental anguish. I pled with those in authority for the leaders to come out in the medical field and to address the family. You know, HIPAA law has changed a lot of things, some for the worse. And out came a psychiatrist. He leaned against the wall, and for 45 minutes or more, engaged a family very dear to me. And he said this: no one of us is whole. Our mental health is along a continuum. On either end of that continuum are two falling off places, where when you get close or if you go over, you feel as if you are falling into an abyss. And then he pointed, he said, you may be one phone call away from falling into the abyss. He pointed to another and he said, you may be five phone calls away from falling into the abyss. And he pointed to another in the room and he said, you may be 10 phone calls away. No one is mentally, emotionally, spiritually whole. We all are mentally ill. That's why today, more than ever, we need to know there's hope. Hope is a picture of the future that sets in motion the power of the present. In the book of Revelation, an epic battle between good and evil is at hand. Now, if you look in the book of Revelation, may I say to you, I would divide it into three sections. First section, chapters 1-3, is the introduction and the letters. The letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Chapters 4-19 is the unfolding history of the church until the return of Christ. Chapters 20-22 are the millennial, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and the eternal new order. So you may have already guessed where I'm going. Our text, Revelation 7:9-17, falls in that category of the unfolding history of humanity until the return of Christ. This passage is given to those who are in the midst of an imminent, epic struggle in life. And what John does, or God does through him, is to give a vision of what is to come, What is to come as the saints of God stand before the great throne room? And he does this to give them a glimpse of heaven, thereby giving us a glimpse of heaven, therefore giving us hope, inspiring us, letting us know that the best is yet to come. So what I want to do in just a few brief minutes is to tell this story. You may want to put your pens down, or you may want to take notes, but I invite you to soak it up. And for the families of the 21, and for all of us who have those already there, and for those in the midst of a battle, I want you to see what God has in store for all who know him and all who love him. Here goes a beautiful story. The Apostle John, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, is caught up in a rapturous vision, and he sees a great multitude, too many to count, from every tribe, every language, every people, and every nation. They are wearing white robes. Now, I want you to hold on to that. They're wearing white robes and they're holding palm branches in their hands. Now, that image should evoke the Old Testament Feast of Tabernacles. It should also evoke the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey with everyone proclaiming him king. And for those who are knowledgeable of Roman history, when the battle was won, the victors would wave the palm branches. It is these who wear the white robes, who are waving the palm branches, who are standing before the throne. And on that throne is God Almighty and the Lamb. And the Lamb is the Son of God, who is Jesus. And the great multitude, too numerous to count, looked to the throne, and with one voice, just as the handbells played, with one voice representing 21 lives, they in one voice say, "Victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Encircling that throne are angels. These angels fall down simultaneously with their face to the ground, and they worship God, and they echo what those in the white robes have just said by saying, "Amen." And then, in beautiful language, these angels give a sevenfold blessing. What you cannot see in the English language is that each one of these blessings is stated emphatically. It goes like this: praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Did you pick up on the number seven? Did you pick up it in the emphaticness? This is the number of completion, perfection. And as John looks on, one of the elders surrounding the throne asks him, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" And John did not know the answer. And he says, "You tell me." And then that elder says this: "These in the white robes, too numerous to count, they have gone through the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, Many scholars think that the Great Tribulation is that cataclysmic warfare that will take place at the end of times, when Satan, though he knows he's defeated, will unleash a torrent of hate and anger and venom, and there will be great suffering, but he will not win. But other scholars say this, that every believer who has lived for Jesus Christ will have gone through at some point in his or her life great and immense suffering. But the battle was won when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for us. The battle was won that day on the cross. From that point forward, Satan has been showing himself, trying to convince us that he will win the battle. And as the saints of God stand before the throne room of God on that great day, they learn this. That the robes that they are wearing are white, symbolizing righteousness, because they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want you to hear today that though you be in battle mode in this world, God has already wrought the victory. The reality of suffering is for real, but there is coming a day when there will be no more night. Therefore, the elder says to John, in the words of the Isaiah prophet, these saints who are around the throne, do you know what they're going to do for eternity? They're going to serve God day and night. Oh my. Can you picture Joe and Talmadge and Bert and Leanne and around the throne? All we're going to do is worship him. It says that as we do that, God will shelter us. There'll be no more pain, no more night, no more harm. He said, we will never thirst or hunger again. In this day and age, in the first century, during the reign of Domitian, who reigned from 81 to 96, this is when this was written, we think, there was great suffering, there was great pain. You normally probably were hungry, you probably went without. He said, no more, no more, no more. He said, the sun will not beat down upon you ever again. Because God is your shepherd. He will lead you and me on that day to streams of living water. And he will wipe away the final tear from your eye. Yes, in this day and age, the reality of crisis is for real. We need a picture of the future that will help us get through the present and do so with calmness and assurance that the worst thing that ever happens to us in this world will never be the last thing that happens to us, because we're going to stand before the throne of God and worship him forever and ever. Everybody I know needs hope. We have recently began a new ministry in our church. Parking lot greeters. One of these is Dan Byers. And he told us recently about two experiences in the parking lot. One is a single woman pulled up, slowed down. Dan went out to talk to her and said, "May I help you?" And she said this, "I want to come to church, but I'm not ready." But she came by our church. The second one was a mother with two small children. She drove up slowly. Dan went out to meet her and said, "May I help you?" And she said, "I want to come to church, but I don't think I have good enough clothes. I want to come to church, but I don't think I match up." People on Sunday morning are literally driving by our church in search of hope, in search of community, in search of a place to belong. Oh, that we could realize what Christ has done for us. In a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, they report that Starbucks is now thought of as common coffee. Anybody ever bought a Starbucks coffee yet lately? And it's called common coffee. The really good stuff now is called third wave coffee, with an emphasis on farm to table sourcing and alternative brewing methods. And I understand that the brewing method looks like a chemistry set on your dinner table. The price? $48 for 10 ounces. If you throw in tax, title, and license, it's up to $60 per cup. Now that's a cup of coffee, and that ought to wake you up. But if you think that's costly, think of the ultimate price that Jesus paid for you. It was outlandish. The Son of God dying for lowly humanity. But he saw us for who we could be. And that is saints of God. And now, during this invitation, is your opportunity and mine to respond publicly and to say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross and for giving me a glimpse of glory in the midst of this world, which can be quite harsh, so that I can stand tall and humbly and face today and tomorrow." Almighty God, precious Lord and tender Spirit, May we feast upon your word. Rely upon what it says. And believe that no matter how dark the night, God will see us through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is leading you to respond, to join this church, to make a first-time decision for Christ, to rededicate your life, do not hesitate. Come now as we stand and sing hymn number 594.